All right, Matthew 22 this morning. It's a real simple word today. But my prayer is that God will use it to challenge us. It's challenged me. I pray it will challenge you. So let's just pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that you've elevated your word even above your name, which is an amazing, amazing statement that you made. And so we don't treat this lightheartedly. We come to your word carefully. Lord, we want to use your word correctly, not out of context, but as you've spoken it, Lord. And so, God, I just pray that this morning, Lord, that we would have ears to hear the voice of your Spirit speaking to us through the Word of God. I pray that God, it's not my words that are important, it's your words that are important. I pray that you would use your Word to speak to us today. And I pray that God, that we would not just be hearers, but we'd be doers. And we know we can only be doers of your Word by the transformation of your Spirit, by the power of your Holy Spirit that would come upon us, that would enable us to do what we cannot do in our own strength, even in Sunday school, hearing as we heard about not retaliating. God, we know that that's impossible. We can't do that in our own. We can only do that by your grace and by your power. And so, God, we come and we say, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us today. Come alongside of us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So when Jesus was confronted with this question, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus was quick to respond from Old Testament scripture and said, it's not to obey God. It's not to serve God. It's to love God. The greatest commandment is to love God, to love God with all your heart and your soul. Now, this goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. It's called the Shema and Deuteronomy 6. Verses 49 is something that every child, every Jewish child would memorize this portion of scripture. This portion of scripture was read at every Jewish service, and it was something that was quoted at every home at sunrise and sunset. And this is what was read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And so this was a central theme in Jewish thinking when it came to our relationship to God, is that God first and foremost wants us to love Him, not to fear Him, but to love Him, but to have this relationship with Him. And so this focus is to love God that fills our hearts, love for God that permeates our emotions, that directs our actions, that rudders our thoughts. And so the question is, how do we love God? How do we make that happen? And I want to talk to us from a New Testament perspective on how we love God. Because you know, it's one thing for me to say, go out there and love God. You know, but it's not as easy as that, you know. But the scripture gives us clues on how we love God. Romans chapter 5, we see that Paul in Romans 5 talks about the love of God. He talks about in verse 1 that we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We rejoice and hope in the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Know that suffering produces endurance, endurance, character, character, hope. Hope does not put us ashamed. Now listen to this. Why? Why is all that true? Because Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The reason that you can love God is because God initiates the process by pouring His love into us. And the word pour there means to gush, means to pour to the extent where it's overflowing. Now, if you remember Jesus when he talks about the Holy Spirit, he says, if a natural father will give good gifts to his children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to whom? To those who ask. And so for us, the love of God is poured into our lives as you and I ask regularly, God, pour your love. Pour your love into me. And when the love of God is poured into you, there is a reflex. It's almost like, you know, when you go to the doctor and he does the knee thing, you know, and your leg goes up. Well, you know, I mean, the reality is that when you are full of the love of God, when God has poured His love into you, it's as natural as breathing for you to love God. Because you're so compelled to love God because of the fullness of the love of God that is in you. Now, Ephesians 3 says that in a little bit different way. Ephesians 3:17 says it this way. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, not in your love for God, but God's love for you, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ. Okay? So that you would comprehend, so that you would know how much Christ loves you. When someone loves you deeply and expresses that love to you and reveals that love to you and manifests that love to you, I mean, and you're feeling that love, I mean, it's easy to love that person, isn't it? It's easy to respond to that person in love. And so this word in the Greek is the word ginosko, the whole idea of knowing the love of Christ. And it's more than a head knowledge. It's a relationship word. To know the love of Christ. It means to learn, to know, and to perceive. It does mean that. But it means to learn and to know and perceive by relationship. Not by reading a book. Not by simply listening to somebody on television or on the radio or whatever. It's a relational term. It's a term that you would have used between David and Jonathan, that they knew each other, you know, because there was this relationship they had, this bond they had, this brother relationship they had. And that's the kind of word that's used here. And it means to know and understand in relationship to such an extent that you seize, that you possess, that you lay hold eagerly upon this relationship. Because it's based on love. It's based on love. It's based on His love for you. And so you embrace this relationship. You seize this relationship because of the love that you recognize as being poured towards you. Okay? So, when that happens to us, when God begins to reveal to us the depth, the length, the height, the breadth of His love for us, when we begin to see it, it'll drop you to your knees. It'll overwhelm you when you recognize, and you do, we all recognize how little we deserve His love. How many know yourself pretty good? How many know that God knows you better than you know yourself? And God knowing you and God knowing me, God knows Dave Ogren better than Dave Ogren knows himself. And Dave Ogren knows enough about himself that, you know, you kind of get nauseated once in a while. But the reality is that even though God knows me better than I know myself, He still pours His love into me. And it is overwhelming. And so when you see, the only time that I am not responding in love to God is when I am distracted, when I leak, when the love of God poured into me somehow dissipates, and I am not allowing myself to be refilled with the reality of the grace of God. We sang my favorite hymn this morning. We sang about the grace of God this morning. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. And the reality is that when we see, when we experience, when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves us to that extent, then we respond differently. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, See, comprehend what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Verse 9 of chapter 4, he says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then verse 19, it says, we love Him. Why? Because what? He first loved us. Don't lose sight of how much God loves you. He knows your history. He knows your background. He knows who you are. He knows where you've been. He knows the stupid things you've done. He knows all of that. But in spite of all of that, He says, I love you. I love you. And I want to have a close relationship with you. I want to have this connection to you that is unique and powerful. So prayer now. Prayer is to be communication in the context of relationship. Okay? How many have ever been in a conversation that was a one-way conversation? This is a true story. Just a few months back, I was in New York, and I was sitting with this guy over breakfast, and he talked about himself for 2 hours. 2 hours. Didn't ask me one question. And he talked about himself and what he was doing and how great he was, blah, 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 blah. And I tried to eat my breakfast, and my breakfast was long gone, and I was listening to him, And I finally couldn't take it anymore. I just couldn't take it anymore. You know, and I probably wasn't very spiritual at the moment. And this was a big guy. He's probably 6'5", 300 pounds almost. Big guy, you know. He could have wiped me out in a minute. But I just looked at him and I called him my name and I said, you know, we've talked for 2 hours, or you've talked for 2 hours. You not asked me one question. I said, thank God it's not true, but my wife right now could be dying of cancer, and you, I wouldn't have had a chance to even share with you what's going on in my life because you are so consumed with yourself. Okay? Well, that was kind of the end of the breakfast. I just couldn't help myself. I couldn't just sit there any longer. You know, there's nothing worse than a one-way conversation. But so many times for us, your prayers, my prayers, tend to be one way. God, help me, help us, direct me, bless my family, bless my kids, bless my grandkids. Guide our life. Thank you very much. Help so-and-so because they're sick. Da-da-da-da-da-da. We're done. And click, conversation is over. And we have not taken any time to listen. I wonder how many times God has said, hey, I got something I want to say to you. You know? You know, every day. That's right. Every day, Mike. That's true. He's saying that to us every day. So we are to have this wonderful two-way conversation. In fact, look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 15. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, that's chapter 16. That didn't look right. Okay, 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Now listen. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known or I have revealed it to you. Everything the Father is telling me, I'm telling you. You know what that is? That's a two-way conversation. That's not just talking to God, but it's Jesus talking to us. And he said, I'm in this friendship relationship with you. I'm in this brother-to-brother or brother-to-sister relationship with you. I want to talk to you. I want to have relationship with you. I want to have closeness to you. I don't want to be just your where you go through the drive-through and order what you want and you have no relationship with the person that you give your money to them and they give you your hamburger and fries and milkshake and thank you very much and you're on your way. God doesn't want that kind of relationship with you. He wants the intimacy of connection. He wants you to talk to him and he wants to talk to you. He wants to share his heart with you. In fact, my goodness, John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. I know them. I genosko them. I have relationship with them. I know them. You see, the key here is direction in your life, direction in my life is a result of not only speaking to God, but hearing. And you may say, man, I have a hard time hearing. Well, just ask. Just begin to ask. God, I want to hear your voice. I want you to talk to me. And God will begin to talk to you. I will guarantee it this week. You ask God speak to me in a way that I understand. You know, God, how many think that God has a hard time getting through to you? You know, that's very, very difficult for God. You are so complex. You are so unique. You are so smart. You are so beyond that God cannot talk to you. No. God knows how to ring your bell. He knows how to communicate to you in a way that you understand. And the way you understand is not the way I understand or Pastor Eric understands. But God knows how to talk to you. He does. You can have faith in that. And so go to him and say, God, you know our problem? Our problem is distraction. We're distracted. You jump in your car, radio goes on. I mean, you see it all the time. People walking down the street. Oh, hi. You know what? We are so distracted. If it's not our phone, it's our iPad. If it's not that, it's watching television. Whatever turns your crank. Okay. So the reality is that all of us face the reality that we are surrounded by noise constantly, and we don't know how to get quiet. And over and over, Mark 8, Mark 9, and Mark 10, Jesus three times talks to his disciples and he says, hey guys, I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again in 3 days. And the first time, Mark 8, Peter takes him aside and rebukes him and says, what are you saying? This is crazy. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And the disciples heard him. What you're saying is not from God. You know, but you know, the next chapter, he's talking to them again, and instead of saying, what are you talking about? They couldn't understand what Jesus was saying, but they were afraid to ask him. The next time, the third time, Mark chapter 10, Jesus says the same thing. This is what's going to happen. He takes them aside, shares the same conversation. And James and John goes up to Jesus and says, hey, when you come into your kingdom, you know, can we sit on your right hand and left hand? It's kind of like, you guys, are you even listening to me? Are you even hearing me, what I'm saying to you? And I know that's a Dave Ogren problem. He's trying to talk to me, but I've got my agenda. I got the things that are important to me. I got the things that I want him to say to me. Instead of my having an ear to hear what he wants to say, he is interested in relationship. That's what he's called us to first. I'm almost done. I know 10 after 11, but here we are. Okay. Yeah. It's been a few weeks since I preached. All right. Blaise Pascal, 1600s. Okay. Some of you have heard this quote. If God does not exist, one will lose nothing by believing, while if he does exist, one will lose everything. That's Blaise Pascal. He was a French physicist, inventor, mathematician. He said something else that probably none of you have heard. The sole cause of human unhappiness is that we do not know how to stay quietly in our rooms. It's in the 1600s. No cell phones, no television, no radio. But still, there's this human problem. We don't know how to get quiet. And we kind of get nervous with quiet. And so we surround ourselves with people and with noise. And so God is not able to speak to us at the level that he wants to speak to us. You see, what happens, we become driven. Anybody become driven? We become exhausted by our drivenness. We become empty in the context of that. And so, David, God says in Psalm 46, would you just be still? Would you just be quiet for a little while and know that I'm God? Just zip it for a while. Just be quiet. Listen to me. Know that I'm God. Now, I'm almost done, but you got to hear this, because this is where all this started for me, was Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. And this was for Dave Ogren. This, you know, so I'm just sharing with you what God convicted me about. All right. Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never genoscoed you. I never knew you. I was never in relationship with you. He's not interested, first and foremost, with what you do. Cast out demons, do mighty works, prophesy. I'm not against any of that stuff. It's all good stuff. But it doesn't prove anything. That's what Jesus says. You can do all that stuff and not be in relationship. Isn't that interesting? And he says, what I am interested in, I want to know you. I want to have relationship with you. I want to talk with you. I want to have connection with you. I want to have closeness with you. And God was speaking to Dave Ogren and said, listen, Ogren. I could care less that you travel all over the world and do this and that. And you preach and Great Commission Media and so what, you know. I could care less you have a title, you know, Missions Director, U.S. Missions Director of Great Commission Media. By the way, for all of you, the title means nothing. Because I'm the only guy in the U.S. Direct myself, I'm a part-time secretary in Minnesota. Besides that, you know, I mean, that's about it. But doesn't it make any difference? We may think we are something. And God says, even spiritually, you can look powerful and strong and godly and knowledgeable and do all kinds of great things. And God says, that doesn't impress me at all. In fact, I get kind of nauseated because you are not in relationship to me. You are not close to me. I am not close to you. You're just doing all this stuff in my name. But who cares? And that touched me and said, man, you need to focus on getting close. You need to focus on hearing my voice. You need to focus on getting in a relationship. Because all the other stuff is peripheral. Even all the good stuff. So what? Eric's dad has been, Nathan has been a missionary in Tanzania for ever. How long? Yeah, 30-some years. Great work. Great work. Reaching out, unreached people groups, Bible college. And God says, so what? So what? It doesn't mean anything to God if Nathan isn't in a relationship. So God is calling us all back to that. So what does Jesus say in Matthew 11? Just come to me. Stop the treadmill. Just come to me. Intentionally come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you intermission. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Why? Because I'm not going to jerk you around. You don't have to be afraid of me. I'm not going to jerk you around. You will find I'm humble and I'm gentle. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so as I wrap this up, you need to do three things. You need to do what Jesus did. Matthew 14:23. Number one, after he dismissed the crowds. Number two, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And he was all alone there. I remember when Stephen was all alone on a rock, all by himself. Except he wasn't all by himself. And sometimes we gotta just cut the cord of all of the activity and all the busyness and all the things that are important to us. Clinton, Trump, you know, whatever. We get so absorbed by stuff, by things, by what's going on. And God says, come on. Come on. Leave the crowds. Whatever your crowd is, leave your crowd. Turn off your phone. Get alone with God. And say, I'm not here to ask for something more. I'm here because I want you to talk to me. I want to hear your voice. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to know what's important to you for me. And that's why I'm done with this. That's why Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is talking to a group of lukewarm Christians called the Laodicean Church. In an area that's now part of Turkey. These guys were not, they were lukewarm. Jesus said, you kind of nauseate me. But what did he say? He doesn't say, get out of here. He doesn't say, I don't want to have anything to do with you. What does he say? Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any of you, he said, I'm just waiting for you. If any of you will open the door, I'll come in. And I'll tell you how wrong you are. And I'll tell you how stupid you are. And I'll tell you what you need to do. No. That's not what he says. He says, I'll come in and I'll have relationship with you. I'll have fellowship with you. I'll relate to you. I'll come alongside of you. I'll strengthen you. I'll encourage you. I'll bless you. I'll be to you what you need. So, dismiss the crowd. Get alone. and let God talk. Father, today, thank you that Christianity is not a religion. It's not simply a code of ethics. It's not simply a bunch of commandments that somehow we work our way to God. But it's a relationship with the one who died for us, with the one who paid our price for our sin. The one who desperately loves us and wants to have a relationship. With your head bowed, your eyes closed, I'm not going to ask anybody to stand or anything like that. You know, this is just between you and God. But if you're here today and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to be close to you. And I'm going to take some steps to dismiss my crowd and begin to again hear your voice in a clearer way. If that's you, just raise your hand to the Lord. Say, God, here I am today. I'm just saying, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to follow you. I want to go your way. But more than that, I want to hear what you want to say to me. Thank you, Lord. This is not complex. This is not rocket science. Simple. It's about relationship. Draw us back to that in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.